It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer. I'm your host. I am the owner and founder of Cannabama, the CBD store in downtown Mobile. We're located at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown. Our phone number is 251-255-5155. You know, I picked the simplest number that they would give me to make it easy. So 251-255-5155 is our phone number. And we are open 7 days a week. We're I don't know if I ever talk about the hours. I usually forget that. But we're open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Thursday. We're open till 8 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. And on Sunday, we're open from noon to 5. So whatever day of the week you're off or have time or are out and about, we are probably there. and then you can shop online and, you know, get directions, whatever you need, at www.canabama.com. That's CANNABAMA.com. Tonight I'm gonna go ahead and introduce our guest. She's a regular. I think it's officially time to call Marty a regular on the show. I think she's our most interviewed guest, Marty Shelper, who is the founder and president of the Alabama Cannabis Coalition. Welcome, Marty.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. I really appreciate being here with you today.
Well, we always have a good time, so. So we got a lot going on. A lot of things. And by the way, I want to clear up something because I just introduced Marty as the founder and president of the Alabama Cannabis Coalition. And last week, I announced that I was president of the Alabama Cannabis Coalition. And then got, you know, Marty got a strange inquiry about the situation. So I want to clear that up. Marty was going to run for office and was needing to step down as president and asked me to fill her shoes for 10 months while she ran. But then after about a week, after we officially told everybody, she decided that it was not the right thing for her to do to run, and I wholeheartedly agree that she made the right decision. And so now she doesn't need me to fill in for her. So I am no longer the president. It was a good week. We had a good run. I think we made some progress. And if y'all really knew how last week went for me and Marty, you would be laughing with us because holy crap. We went to, well, I went to Montgomery. Marty didn't make it. But anyway, so Marty is now and has really always been the president. And I am going to fill the role of public relations director. So I'll be helping take off the burden with press releases and talking to the press and helping Marty have another face for the ACC out there. And because, of course, anytime Cannabama does something, we want to represent the ACC as well. So that's the confusion on that. If the person who inquired, I'm sure with pure intentions, is listening, never fear. I am not president.
Well, I just want to say congratulations and welcome on board, and we are so elated to have you joining us in an official capacity. And the few days that you were the president, you just did a phenomenal job.
Well, thank you.
You're so welcome.
I think that, you know, me, I could talk to a brick wall. And I have bright colored hair, so I'm not really afraid to get out there and speak what needs to be spoken. And so I think it's a good position for me to have. And I do deal with a lot of media, so you know I think it's a good fit, and I'm excited. So thank you for the responsibility and the trust in me that you have and the group has. We've got a fantastic
amazing, Jennifer. You're going to do a fantastic job, and I'm just glad that the position was available, and now we can start moving forward with our lobbying efforts and
yes,
everything, every other iron that we have in the fire.
Right, right. So let's kick it off. First up, this week, Not like it's the busiest week of Cannabama the whole year with Mardi Gras. But this coming weekend, we're finally going to get to have our Legalized Freedom event, which is part of the Libertarian Party Convention for Alabama. And I am getting to be one of the sponsors, and I'm hosting a VIP lounge. But our headliner, Afro Man, we're going to have Joe Jorgensen, Spike Cohen, Gary Cargill. Who am I? We're going to have a virtual interaction with Tommy Chong of Cheech and Chong. It's going to be a super fun day on Saturday in Dothan at the Clarion Inn and Suites. And so we were supposed to originally have it at the Civic Center. Y'all don't want to know. Y'all don't want to know.
I do want to say that Gary Cargill that you mentioned is with the Bang Productions. He's a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And the Southern Mama Tour, Darren Knight, the Southern Mama Tour.
Right.
So Gary is a great candidate for cannabis advocacy. I've known him for 3 years. And he always steps up to the plate for us whenever we're, you know, needing some entertainment. And I just want to really give a shout out to Gary because he is absolutely hysterical. And if people will purchase their tickets, there's an Eventbrite link on Legalized Freedom on Facebook. If you just use their search engine and look for Legalized Freedom, it will pull up the event and they can purchase their tickets. The link on Eventbrite is on that event page. And join us, and we're going to have a great time. I can't wait, and we're going to have a cannabis panel also for Make It Legal.
Right, yeah, I was just going to say, Marty and I are both going to be part of a panel, and we're going to have a discussion on, well, who knows what it'll ultimately be about, but we're going to talk about legalization, decriminalization, really bring together a lot of years of experience and knowledge within and without advocacy, the industry, and we've got Spike Cohen, who is he was a 2020 vice presidential candidate. Marty, of course, the founder of the Alabama Cannabis Coalition. Danny Wilson, who's a candidate for the Alabama House District 57. Jennifer Boozer, cannabis lobbyist, and Antoine Mordecai, who is he is the Alabama State Director for Minorities for Medical Marijuana, and it's hosted by Joey Clark. I don't know who Joey is, but I'm sure he's a nice man.
And I do want to make a correction on Danny Wilson. He has decided not to run for House Rep. He's going to be running for an Alabama Senator position.
Oh.
And I apologize. I'm not familiar with the district, but Danny has decided to run for State Senator.
Okay, cool. Yes, everything is in flux, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's a deadline somewhere in there where you can't change your mind anymore. They're saying, too bad, you're stuck. But yes, everybody is really, I'm surprised, pleasantly surprised, especially with our favorite gubernatorial candidate, Dave Thomas, in the mix. You know, how many people are running for office or are in office that are really supportive of cannabis legalization? It's very exciting.
I'm just in awe of Dave Thomas for governor.
Yes.
He's running as a Republican.
Yes. And also, I wanted to mention at the top of the Cannabama business page, if you just search Cannabama : the CBD store, there is an event page there, an event listed for Legalized Freedom. So if you want to look for it there as well. That's if you're a follower of the page, it's right there at the top of the page when you go to the page.
That's awesome. Great idea.
Yes, I've had it up there for a couple weeks now, and that way people can just right there before they even get to the posts, they see the event. How much are the tickets, Marty?
How much of what?
Are the tickets.
They're actually $5 cheaper than they were because we're not going to be at the convention center. Tickets in advance are $25 each, and that gets you into all of the vendor tables and the events that are going to be going on during the day. And I believe there's going to be music that's going to be going on all day. But
right.
They're $30 at the door, $25 in advance.
Okay. All right. In just a moment, when we come back from the break, we're gonna talk some more with Marty Shelper of the Alabama Cannabis Coalition and start digging into SB 160. So if you'll stick with us, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jennifer, your host, and we're talking tonight with Marty Shelper, who is the founder and president of the Alabama Cannabis Coalition. Marty, let's start talking about these bills. I know that last week, or in the week before, it seemed like bills were just flying out of nowhere. As far as in different aspects of, you know, the subject of cannabis. The one we're mostly focused on, though, is SB 160. Will you give us an overview of what SB 160 says?
Okay, I'll be happy to, because there's a lot of confusion going on out there about Senate Bill 160. Senate Bill 160 was sponsored by Senator Bobby Singleton. It's the same legislation that he actually sponsored in the 2021 Alabama legislative session, and it never made it to the floor of the Senate. Last Wednesday, when you were in Montgomery and I was stranded in Noonan, Georgia, the Senate Judiciary Committee took up Senate Bill 160 and gave it a favorable vote, meaning that Senate Bill 160 is now headed to the floor of the Alabama Senate. And when people heard that it passed out of the Judiciary Committee, people always assume, oh, that means the decriminalization passed in the state of Alabama. And that's not what happened.
Right.
It didn't even pass out of the Senate. It just passed out of committee. So it's going to the floor of the Senate, and word on the street is that there are enough votes in the Alabama Senate to pass decriminalization, Senate Bill 160. Does that mean that decriminalization has passed in the state of Alabama? No. There's many steps and things that have to occur for decriminalization to actually be legislative. It has to be legal in the state. So once it passes the Alabama Senate, and we're cautiously optimistic that it will move back to the House. And I have not heard who the sponsor is going to be in the House, but that should be coming out pretty soon, I would think, if it looks like it's going to pass the Senate. Like I said, more cautiously optimistic about that.
Right.
When it goes to the Alabama House, it'll have to get through another committee, which will probably be the House Judiciary Committee. And if it passes out of the House Judiciary Committee, then it will go to the floor of the House for a final vote from them. The word on the street is that the fight for decriminalization, Senate Bill 160, sponsored by Bobby Singleton, is going to have a fight in the Alabama House. And one of the reasons that I've heard that it's going to be a fight in the House is because there are a lot of ex-law enforcement officers that are actually Alabama House reps.
Right.
So the most important thing that we can get the citizens that are within the sounds of our voices to do now, join the Alabama Cannabis Coalition. If you go to alabamacannabiscoalition.org, it will take you to our Facebook page.
Right.
We have posts out there that we call Call to Action. We provide you all the information about what we need you to do and what the Call to Action is actually about. And currently, we're asking the citizens of the state of Alabama that support decriminalization to write to their senators. Last week, we were asking them to write to the Senate Judiciary Committee members. This week, we're asking them to email every one of the Alabama state senators, and we provide all of those email addresses for you. We provide a sample email if you would like to copy and paste that email, and you only have to copy and paste it one time, because when you copy and paste the email addresses, you can copy and paste those into one email. and let the Alabama state senators know that it is time. It is time, Alabama, to support decriminalization in the state of Alabama. Keep people from getting caught up in the criminal justice system, going to jail, and losing everything that they own. Now, Senate Bill 160 only covers 2 ounces or less. And I think the way the legislation reads, it's less than 2 ounces.
Right. I think anything over, anything 2 ounces and over becomes a felony, I think.
Correct. I just want to make sure that people understand that if anything under 2 ounces, that it would be a fine, not a misdemeanor. You would only have to pay a fine, and the first fine that you would pay if you were caught with that over that quantity, or if you're caught with cannabis, would be $250 fine.
Right. Yeah, I think Birmingham. I think the decriminalization in Birmingham. Lord have mercy. Let me get it out. I think it's 250 the first time, 500 the second, and 750 the third time, and you're never going to pay more than 750, but you won't go to jail either.
But in the state of Alabama, on your third offense, it's considered a misdemeanor.
Okay. Yeah, I knew it would probably be a little bit different. I wasn't sure. That's why I wanted you to go over that. Now, and for those of you who don't know, decriminalization is the process of taking something like a marijuana infraction. You know, if you get caught with marijuana, instead of it being a jailable offense where you get arrested, fingerprinted, arraigned, all that, bonded out, to a finable or ticketable offense. So that instead of going through all of that and all that entails, you got weed on you, here's a $250 fine, here's the deadline to pay it, and you go pay it. And if not, then they come pick you up.
Correct.
So, but it will keep a whole lot of people out of jail.
Right.
And the state still gets the revenue, okay? I know a lot of people are, you know, we all know that Alabama has terrible prisons, and we all know that they get federal funding and things like that, and there's privatized prisons and all. It's a horrible situation in Alabama, and they're building 2 new ones with all that COVID relief money, and I don't want to talk about that, but instead of getting whatever the state gets from each prisoner being in prison, but also costing the state taxpayers all that money, they just, hey, here's a 10-minute interaction with a policeman that doesn't put anybody's life in danger because no one's worried about running or resisting because it's just a ticket. There's no need for violence. There's no need for freak out. And if you're carrying more than 2 ounces, we all know you're dealing anyway. So, because no one needs 2 ounces at a time.
Well, not necessarily, but the likelihood is that.
Well, but that's what the premise of that limitation is that no one needs, you know, 56 grams of cannabis at any given time for personal use. I think the limitation is to keep it at personal use weight. And 2 ounces is very generous for personal use. So it'd be different if it was one joint. You know, you can get caught with one joint and then people would still just be going to jail. But it's a pain in the behind to buy one joint at a time. I sell plenty of single joints and single grams, but to me it seems like a pain in the rear end. But anyway, so, you know, they'd be able to recover the costs of all the different ways that the state makes money off of imprisoning people. So it's to me, it seems like a pretty fair trade. And I'm betting that people are going to get a little braver, you know, just because we're, you know, well, if there's not as much danger, people are going to be bolder. And they'll get caught more often and they'll pay more fines. So maybe they'll make out better. Who knows? Who knows?
Well,
but the revenue
that
the state...
The case, and I personally am not a big fan of decriminalization, and we could talk for an hour just on why I'm not a fan of it.
Right.
But it is a step in the right direction in moving Alabama into the next century with every other state in the United States that has passed recreational.
Right. And I was watching because, you know, we thought we were going to get to be in that hearing and even speak, and then found out at the last minute that we would not be able to be there and we would definitely not be speaking, but we watched it as it happened, and it was a pretty short hearing. But the most important thing I heard was when Senator Singleton pointed out that, you know, last time we tried to pass DCRIM, everything was still illegal. But now that we've passed a medical marijuana law and we're in the process of implementing legalizing medical, we can't really justify imprisoning people like that anymore. Correct. And I think that that's the biggest push. It is a step in the right direction, you're right, towards what we ultimately want, which is full legalization, home grow, expungement of records, you know, give people their lives back and take Absolutely. The danger out of choosing natural medicine.
And I would like to say, last week when we found out, because Jennifer Boozer and I are both registered cannabis lobbyists in the state of Alabama, and I still need to do a little bit of research to find out why lobbyists were not allowed in that judiciary hearing committee.
Right.
I haven't heard that there were any other lobbyists in there, but that's cause for concern for me, because we're registered cannabis lobbyists for a reason.
Right.
And I believe that wherever cannabis is being discussed within the confines of the Alabama House, that we should be there to, even though it was streamed live as registered cannabis lobbyists, I believe that we should have had access to that room, and I'm not sure why we weren't allowed in that hearing.
Right. I don't know if he was a lobbyist. I did see when they were discussing another bill, there was a lawyer that was allowed to come and speak against it. I don't remember Yeah, there was a lawyer that was allowed, and of course I only saw the back of his body and head, and I don't remember what his name was, because I was sort of surprised. But I do remember them saying that he was a lawyer and that that he had comments against whatever bill it was. So they were allowing some people in there.
But it wasn't about SB 160.
No, there were several. Yeah, no. I listened to the first to probably three or four different proceedings on different bills, including SB 160. That one was like two after that one. I'm not sure. I just remember thinking, I wonder how he got in the room.
Well, it happened so fast that when I watched it, Senator Singleton looked like he was a deer caught in the headlights, that it went so fast and
right.
It was favorable.
Right,
so
right.
Good for him, and congratulations to Senator Singleton.
Yes, and thanks to him for continuing to push for this bill, because it's definitely past time. When we come back, we'll talk about some more bills and some more cannabis with Marty Shelper. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host. I'm the owner and founder of Cannabama, the CBD store here in Mobile. We're located at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown. Our phone number is 251-255-5155. And our website is www.cannabama.com. That's CannaBama.com. We're speaking with Marty Shelper, I'm used to saying owner and founder about myself, founder and president of the Alabama Cannabis Coalition. So Marty, I mentioned before that there were other bills that were just kind of thrown our way. Let's start with State Bill 144, sponsored by Senator Melson. And I talked about this a little bit on the last show, but, we have news though, right?
Yes. There's also a House Bill 290 that's very similar to Senate Bill 144, not State Bill, it's Senate Bill.
Right.
And Senate Bill 144 was sponsored by Tim Melson.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he is, I don't know what the technical word would be for it. I don't know if he's, like you said, squashing that legislation, but we also have a similar bill in the House, and that deals with controlled substances to exempt non-psychoactive cannabinoids derived from hemp from the controlled substance list.
Right.
So you may know a little bit more about that than I do.
Well, basically, and this was our issue with Senate Bill 144, sponsored by Senator Melson. It basically was meant to be a ban on Delta 8, and although it never mentions Delta 8 THC, it uses broader terms. And the fear with the broader terms is that it could actually apply to just about any cannabinoid. If you stretched it enough, because it is so vague, and it would cripple us. Those of us that are in business and currently selling Delta 8 products, I think that I've read enough about Senator Melson's motivation to know that his biggest concern is that it's everywhere. That it's in gas stations, it's in smoke shops, it's in places other than CBD shops. And you can get it anywhere. And so we know that businesses whose main focus is anything other than cannabis, they're not going to have the knowledge and experience to know how to vet and supply quality products. I think that's the biggest concern, is that dirty products could be sold at gas stations and people could have adverse reactions, not to the cannabis itself, but to chemicals used, to additives, to who knows, you know, just like with the people that got sick with the knockoff THC vapes 2 years ago. It was not the cannabis part that killed them. It was inhaling a vapor of vitamin E oil. Because people, they don't care. You know, they're making it in a bathtub somewhere. So I think that Senator Melson's concern, I share his concern. But to just ban the substance instead of, you know, creating some sort of parameters, I think was going to be more destructive than anything else. So from what I understand, Senator Melson is tabling that bill, squashing it, setting it aside. And, you know, and of course, I think I read a statement that said he might reconsider going back to a ban bill eventually. But I think for this legislative session, he has decided with the introduction of House Bill 290, which you just referred to, I think he is satisfied with the parameters in that bill to set aside 144 and endorse 290. 290 says that Delta 8 should only be sold to people who are 18 and older, which is the first age restriction that would be on the books in Alabama. There are no age restrictions, nothing about limitations on consumption. So
and
this
is not just Delta 8, it's Delta 8 and Delta 10.
Right. Delta 8, Delta 10, probably, if you could consider HHC, THCO, things like that. Other THCA, there's lots of different ones, but I think he was going after the tetrahydrocannabinols. And everybody that listens regularly knows there's a bunch of those. But 18 and older.
Something real quick.
Uh-huh.
Okay, when you were talking about the businesses and all the people that this would affect, it's going to affect the consumers
mm-hmm.
that are finding some relief that don't have access to medical cannabis now, so it's going to affect the consumers. It's going to affect the businesses like
mm-hmm.
Cannabama,
mm-hmm.
but it's also going to affect the hemp farmers and
yes,
the hemp industry in the state of Alabama.
Yes, yes,
hemp
it is.
It's legal in the state of Alabama. It's federally legal in the state of Alabama. So when you start bringing this legislation in, and this is from my viewpoint as a cannabis advocate, it appears to me that they want to eliminate anything that's legal that would provide a citizen relief from a condition that they have and force them into the medical cannabis registry.
100%.
Now, that's my position. I don't know if that's, you know, really the case, but that's what it appears to me.
I would put big money on that.
That they possibly can, that provides relief to the citizens. So this coming fall, you know, when the cannabis farmers, the cultivars, and the vertical seed-to-sale system gets in place, that the citizens will have to participate in the medical cannabis registry. And I don't support that because I believe that Delta 8 and Delta 10 should be where they are now, and that's legal.
Yes.
I don't know how they're going to go around that.
Right. No, I 100% agree with that. Without having to be told anything by anybody, it makes complete and total sense, shocker, that, you know, all these states, because I know Louisiana really, really cracked down on the hemp industry and really, really controls so many different aspects of it to the point where it was a delay in having CBD available publicly because businesses like mine were so strapped to be able to qualify for their stipulations and all their fees and licensing and things like that. But I think that in the interim of them fighting over who's going to be right, are we going to legalize, are we going to have medical, you know, the hemp industry came along quietly at first and then quickly built momentum because we're talking about the same plant here. We're talking about the same chemical compounds, and we've been able to do the majority of what the plant has to offer, we've been able to offer that to people. And it's not 100%, but it's real good. And so I think that in the interim of them getting themselves into place, because we both know if medical is all we're getting, we're not getting it for another year, year and a half minimum. And not everyone will qualify. And not everyone who does qualify will be able to afford it when they finally tax it to death. You know, that's what typically happens in legal states. At the end of the day, when they finally have it all ready to go and they open the doors and people are lined up around the block, people don't realize they're walking in and going to pay double. They're going to be taxed 40%, 30%, you know, because the government can, you know. So not everybody's going to be able to afford it.
That's another reason why people need to follow AlabamaCannabisCoalition.org, go to our Facebook group, join us, to actually have the facts as a consumer, as a citizen of the state of Alabama, and a voter. And I just want to reiterate that as a voter. We are in an election cycle right now, and this is the time to prevent prohibitionists from going back into office or going into office, because we have people that are running for re-election and we have new candidates that are running to be elected. I had people tell me a year ago when the medical passed, you know, what my goals and plans were for the ACC. And they said, you do not want to do that during an election cycle. And I said, that's exactly when you want to do it, is during an election cycle, because you want to flush out those prohibitionists. You want them to know that the citizens of the state of Alabama are watching, they're paying attention, and we need to make sure that we know who votes yes and who votes no against these various pieces of legislation.
Right.
Because the citizens are the ones, the voters are the ones that are going to be suffering in the state of Alabama because they don't have access to Delta 8 and Delta 10 and various other cannabinoids that
right.
they may try to throw into the mix.
I know that for me personally, and whether it benefits a single other person on the planet, for me personally, Delta 8 has been like the second wave of life change for me in being able to use cannabis products for my anxiety, for my insomnia, for my general level of anxiety in dealing with all the COVID stuff. And, you know, all the trials and tribulations of being a business owner, of, you know, becoming a single mother and not knowing whether or not the business will be stable, you know, and dealing with all those emotional issues. Delta 8 made me human again, and no one wants me to revert back to the state of, of course, I've been divorced a while now and I'm over that, but, you know, and COVID seems to be keeping its head down a bit and staying out of my way.
And
so,
each and every citizen in the state of Alabama, we all have things that we cross in our journey of life.
That's right.
Have anxiety.
Right.
To take those two things away from people that they can legally access, and we are talking about hemp-derived products.
Right.
These products do not have THC in them.
Well, we are
hemp-derived products that they're trying to prevent us from having legal access to, and it's wrong.
Right. Well, and before we go to the break, I just want to finish saying that House Bill 290 would make the legal age limit at 18. So you have to be 18 and older to buy it, at Delta 8 and Delta 10 products. They want to add a 4% sin tax, which I didn't even realize that they use that terminology.
Getting started.
Uh-huh. Anyway, as a cannabis, a conservative Christian cannabis advocate, I'm offended by that term. But
and if we're... Let me just throw something in there before the break. Do you know that pharmaceuticals are not... The people that purchase pharmaceuticals are not charged a sales tax?
Oh, I know. No taxes at all. Well, 4% sales tax, and somehow they're going to derive a way to keep it out of gas stations and smoke shops. So when we come back, we'll finish up talking about these bills with Marty Shelper from the Alabama Cannabis Coalition. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final segment of Sweet Home Cannabama. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host. We're talking to Marty Shelper from the Alabama Cannabis Coalition. And we've just been discussing Senate Bill 144 that was sponsored by Senator Melson to ban Delta 8 and Delta 10 and leave it wide open for a whole bunch of other cannabinoids that apparently has been set aside, tabled, squashed, whatever you want to call it. Then we moved on to House Bill 290, which would regulate the sale of Delta 8 and Delta 10 to 18 and older at a 4% sin tax, and somehow there will be a system set in place to make sure that not everyone's allowed to sell it. I think, and I'm the thing I read the most about Senator Melson's problem with Delta 8 and Delta 10 is that it is so widely available everywhere. And then the last bill is Senate Bill 168. Marty, that one has a ton in it. To me, it was like, after a while, I was like, this is the longest list I've ever read in my life. Because in the beginning, and I might botch this, so that's why I love Marty, because she's going to correct me. But in the beginning of the bill, it talks about not being allowed to possess or purchase testing kits, like at-home testing kits, to basically see if your drugs are contaminated with fentanyl. Something about testing for fentanyl, which I didn't realize was the thing. It probably should be. But, you know, you hear about so many illicit street drugs and pills, pressed pills, that are laced with fentanyl, and people are dying, and that's a very scary thing.
I will say this about Senate Bill 168. It has 7 sponsors.
Wow.
So,
wow.
That's a lot of sponsorships for one piece of legislation.
It is. Well, I'm confused why the first part of it talks about fentanyl testing kits, but then the rest of it is basically one big long ban on anything used to grow, propagate, cultivate, process, package, or consume.
Paraphernalia?
Yes. It's all paraphernalia.
Anything they consider paraphernalia is in Senate Bill 168?
Any kind of bongs, pipes, one-hitters, papers, and even little baggies, which we use to do single serving samples. So I've never had paraphernalia in the store for this reason, because I didn't want it to be a backdoor way in to get a warrant, you know,
right,
for the law enforcement people, because there's only a couple. But, you know, there's a couple of people that still have a problem with what I do, what we all do. And I never wanted them to be able to say, well, we can't arrest her for doing anything wrong because she's not doing anything wrong. And this is legal, and she hasn't done this, and she hasn't done that. But we could say, you know, paraphernalia is illegal and use that way. And because just, you know, being enmeshed with law enforcement would hurt the business, because people would be afraid. and it's a scare tactic.
I do want to let the people know who are within the sound of our voice. I'd like to call out these senators' names, and if you recognize one and you live in their district, you may want to email them. You may want to call them.
Yes.
Senator Jim McClendon, Senator William Beasley, Senator Tom Butler, who's up in the Madison County, Huntsville area, Senator Linda Coleman Madison, Senator Sam Gibbons, Senator Kirk Hatcher, and Senator Jack Williams are all sponsors of Senate Bill 168 that's trying to ban you again and deny you your freedom to be able to purchase, you know, paraphernalia and the other things that Jennifer mentioned.
Right, because, I mean, this would include anything you would roll up something to smoke. Anything that you would package, any type of product from a tobacco shop or from a CBD store or, you know, a dispensary. But, I mean, it's so broad. Anything to grow, cultivate, propagate. I mean, you could put shovels and buckets in that. You know, there are lots of things that are completely harmless that are used in those things. And small baggies and rolling papers aren't just for weed. Neither are pipes and bongs.
Law enforcement officers to say they were searching your car for probable cause, because probable cause is not definitive. It's not defined.
Oh, no, it's not.
They just use that as a catchphrase.
Right.
Oh, well, we have probable cause. So the citizens in the state of Alabama, and I'm getting ready to go on a little rant here, wake up.
Yes.
Your voice matters. If you're afraid, you know, create a fake email account or something, but get in touch with the senators to let them know how you feel about all of this different legislation that's related to hemp and cannabis. It's insane.
Right. Well, I mean, it could even, I mean, if you smoke tobacco out of a pipe, it could affect you. You know, you could be arrested for drug paraphernalia. You know,
are they going to quit selling pipes and quit selling?
Well,
and
I imagine you could add hookahs to that too. You know,
and you buy a printhead with a can of tobacco, and you're not going to be able to get any rolling papers. I mean, what are you going to do with it?
Right, exactly. I mean, it really is overreaching, if you ask me, because these things have been around and been available to the public, whether or not weed has ever been legal, forever. You know, people have smoked, I mean, people, we've smoked tobacco since the beginning of this nation. You know, I mean, people have rolled stuff up and smoked it for a long time.
Rabbit tobacco.
Yeah.
Plenty of people in the state of Alabama have rolled up rabbit tobacco.
It's almost like the only thing they want you to have access to smoke is toxic, chemical laden, and cancerous cigarettes.
Carcinogenic tobacco.
Yes, with...
that's filled with chemicals. And they're concerned about us getting weed that's got chemicals on it, but yet it's legal to buy tobacco and buy cigarettes. I just don't get it.
Right. Go get you a fifth of vodka and a pack of Marlboro Reds and, you know, get behind the wheel. You know, no big deal. It's maddening. And I want to sometimes say, really? Are we all just going to sit here and act like this isn't lunacy because we're afraid to stand up and go, I'm sorry?
Act like that some of the people that are governing us have never utilized cannabis themselves.
Well, I'm willing to bet that a whole lot more of them that are willing to admit it have. You know,
or not married to somebody that utilizes,
or has a kid that smokes, or hey, I mean, I guarantee you, some of the most staunch opponents to it, if they were told they had terminal cancer, they would think real hard about whether or not they were going to consume cannabis, and then wish that they could just go pick it up at the corner store around the corner from their house,
right?
You know, or pick it up out of their yard. You know, so I think that 168 is definitely the most, to me,
dangerous.
The most, yes, because it would put, I mean, the vape industry is barely limping along, and, you know, say what you will about vaping, it's still not combustible smoke, it's still got to be healthier, you know?
I just want to know personally, if you're in the hemp industry and you're within the sound of our voices, I want to know what the hemp industry is doing to fight against this. They have they've got to have lobbyists out there. The Alabama Cannabis Coalition is focused on lobbying for citizens' rights, and I want to know what the industry is doing to fight for the rights of the hemp industry in the state of Alabama in the 2022 legislative session. And if somebody wants to call me or email me, you can email me at alabamacannabiscoalition.org. We're willing to fight alongside of you, but we are not willing to sell the citizens out of the state of Alabama. So come forward. Email
right.
me. You know, call me. Call Jennifer. You probably have Jennifer's phone number because she works with industry insiders.
Right. Well, we're colleagues. I mean, my equals in the state of Alabama should all be vocal.
They're your peers.
And they should all be at the state house. They shouldn't be raising tens of thousands of dollars to pay a lawyer who's not involved in cannabis advocacy when there are cannabis lobbyists that are working for free, A. But B, take your tail down to the state house one time. Most of the people in the industry are up near there. I'm down here by myself.
let me tell you what happens, okay? Every time we go into a legislative session, and something like this, like all this legislation that we're talking about, the Senate bills and the House bills, the first thing that starts happening when people start getting wind of the various pieces of legislation is my messenger box blows up from people in the industry wanting to know,
what are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm. How are you going to help us?
Right.
Okay, I've been doing this for 10 years. I've been a lobbyist for two sessions. I'm not paid.
Right.
I pay for this all on my own dime.
Right. You know? No one's paying me either.
People that are in the industry are getting paid. And, I know that some people that are in the hemp industry are struggling. I understand it, and I get that. But you can't struggle in the industry and not stand up and speak out about the injustice of what you're trying to do to the hemp industry in the state of Alabama.
You're right, Marty. We're out of time. I'm sorry to cut you off, but
okay.
Call us. The Alabama Cannabis Coalition's on Facebook. We're on the internet, alabamacannabiscoalition.org, cannabama.com. Join the fight or don't complain. See you next week.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.